You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And good morning. You're listening to America's Web Radio and the Dan and Dave Show, and we've got Mr. West Coast on the line. And we have concurred that it's better taking off the days, and so we're not going to do a show today. We're just going to go back, and he's going to go to his bed. I'm going to go home to my bed, and we'll just play like it's another Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, it's the morning after turkey. After turkey, yes.
Well,
it's one and three, I guess, after turkey. How much weight did you gain, by the way?
Well, we didn't have turkey, and both my wife and I are, you know, I hate to say I'm on a diet. I'm not on a diet. I'm just trying to watch what I eat. And it was only the two of us, so we didn't want to go to really the big hassle of doing the turkey and all of that kind of stuff. So we ate very lightly, and but she did fix the two. You know, more important than turkey, you got to have the green bean casserole and the candied yam, whatever it is, souffle or whatever it is. And you got to have those. I mean, you can't have a Thanksgiving without them, in my opinion. We did cut out the bread. There were no wonderful rolls. There was no wonderful dressing and gravy to go on that dressing, and there was no turkey. But other than that, we had a nice dinner, and we watched so many Christmas movies. Do you and Jen ever watch the Hallmark Christmas movies?
It's been a while. I must confess.
Well, we were watching one. This was funny, and so we watched this movie, and yada, yada. And they're all sort of the same. Girl meets boy, boy meets girl, boy and girl don't get along, and then they fall in love and get married or whatever. So we've watched more than I want to admit to, and so we start another one. And the funny thing was, they had the exact same house in two movies. I guess they were trying to cut their expenses, so they had the same. I mean, the outdoor shot of the house, and then the interior, and you know, it was exactly the same house, same lighting on the outside, the Christmas lighting on the outside and stuff. And generally speaking, with the exception of one that we watched, they were all supposedly Christmas in New York City or Christmas in New York State, and. And the people worked in the city or this or that. But it was fun. And some good makes you think every now and then, and how lucky you are to have family and the Christmases of the past and all this. So anyway.
Well, my favorite Christmas movie is, I think it's The Christmas Story.
Yeah.
With the BB gun incident. You're going to shoot your eye out with the date with the Daisy BB gun.
Huh.
Is that called The Christmas Story?
I don't remember that portion of it. But anyway, you know, there's been lots of things have happened since last week, and you couldn't afford yourself to show up last week, you know. But we had Gary Burns on, and Gary's been on before, and he was a Secret Service, uniform Secret Service in the White House. And it was a good show, and it's up. And if people want to listen to it, it was about the transition and what's going on. You know, so much, we get maybe a droplet of what's really going on, and there is so much going on behind the scenes right now in the transition. And actually, I didn't realize, but the transition has been going on for months. It didn't just start. It's been going on for months and months. And I guess they figured, depending on which candidate, both Hillary and and Trump have.
Oh, you think they have two plans?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Trump plan and Clinton plan.
Well, I don't know if Obama did, but both campaigns were assuming. Well, if we win, this is what is going to have to happen. What do you think of this baloney of this Jill Stein, who I can't stand? She's right up there with Warren, Elizabeth Warren, in my thinking. But, you know, calling this recount, she got 30,000 votes in Michigan, I think it was, and she got nothing. She is nothing, you know? But to pull this recount business, and where did she all of a sudden get $6 million from?
Well, can you say Clinton money?
Clinton money. Yeah, I can say that.
Yeah. Is there going to be a recount, or are we just talking about whether or not there should be a recount?
No, I guess there's going to be one in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, which, you know, in all three cases, what I'm hearing from not only on television, but also from we had one of our guests, and I'm not going to identify who because he's asked me not to, as a matter of fact, with regard to this, because he works for the government. He's a private contractor, but he's very much into checking to see if something's being hacked into, or, you know. Without going into detail, he was working Election Day here in Georgia for, I'm not sure whether it's the Fed or for the state, but he works for all of them. He, like I said, he's a private contractor. And he was telling me, you know, it's just slim to none that Russia or anybody else could really hack into and do any kind of substantial damage. They might want to, but wanting to and doing it, two pretty big extremes. And from what I'm hearing, and I called him the other day, talked to him, and he just sort of laughed off the thing of you know, they might, maybe, in some shape, form, or fashion, find 500 or 1,000 illegitimate votes, but they're not going to find enough to make any difference. So, you know, we'll see. And I think it's funny, you know, Hillary's as big a liar as she's always been, comes out, concedes, and now she's trying to take her concession back.
Well, the margin of victory was 107,000 votes. Three in Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, which is not very many votes for those three states. So I don't know how anybody would know whether or not there were bogus votes in there or not. What my concern is, what would happen if they found, 108,000 bad votes for Trump and Hillary wins those three states by 1,000 votes, then what? You know, then I think Trump's going to have a recount. It gets kind of messy, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It gets messy
and
quick.
And time's running out.
Time's running out.
You only have so long to ask for a recount. I don't know.
What if it's a decisive recount and it goes against Trump? Does that mean Trump is no longer president-elect?
You know,
I don't.
They really haven't.
I'm not sure.
Come up with an answer on that I know of. Supposedly, once there's a concession, then that's the end of the story, supposedly. But, you know, you're hearing, I'm hearing all sorts of things, but I just don't think at this point, I don't think they're going to find anything, or not enough to make any difference.
I think if you were selecting homecoming queen and one of the queens, said, okay, I lost, conceded, then I think that might be a forever thing. But I think for president, I don't think a concession means squat.
Well, it may not. It may not. You may be 100% right.
It's just weird, but I know a lot of people here in good old Portland would love to see the election overturned and have Hillary move into the White House. People here are just going crazy.
Yeah, well,
just going crazy.
They were crazy before that, and they'll be crazy after it. You know,
not a
big supporter. But anyway, we've got a lot of things to talk about. Obviously, the thing that has captivated the news and stories is the death of Fidel. And I was thinking back, you know, how I remember well when he took over Cuba and ousted Batista, and you know, our government was behind him, supporting him, and then, oops, we made a mistake. He's a communist. And the Cuban regime under Castro has just been dastardly. And his younger brother, who is 85 now, has been in rule in ruling the country since Castro turned it over to him. And it's still one of our we had a guest on our classic car show that went to Cuba three times to you know, look at the cars, and everybody kids about that they're 30 and 40 and 50-year-old cars running around. But the fact of the matter is, most of them have lost their engines and are running on Russian diesel engines. They've become very creative in keeping those cars running in one shape, form, or fashion. And there are beginning to be a few new cars. Nobody can afford them at $25 a month, which most of the people in Cuba make. The only mm-hmm. ones that are making any money are the ones that have bed and breakfasts or work at hotels and make money off of tips and so forth. But I remember. What is your memory of Castro taking over?
I'm much too young to remember. When did he take over? Was it
59? I believe it was 58 or 59.
58 or 50? Yeah.
You were 10 years old, 11 years old.
I was 10 years old. That's right.
So you can't remember that?
Mm-mm.
It wasn't important in Roswell, New Mexico.
So that's interesting. He's been he was president all of my adult life.
Yeah, he's gone through 11 presidents. Think about that.
Well, he's durable, I guess.
He was. he's gone
was.
Now.
Yeah, but I guess it caught up to him. But
At 90, you know, I guess it was about time for him. For it to catch up with him, but at the same token, he was pretty powerful through his 80s, or through, I guess he gave it up when he turned 80. But, you know, the point is, I think I didn't like what Obama came out with. I didn't like some of the other people that have come out with and trying to in any shape, form, or fashion, rationalize that he was some kind of great leader. He overthrew a communist, Batista, and then turned right back around and became much worse than Batista was. There is no way in the world that I can make that guy out a hero, nor should anybody else. He was bad. His brother's bad, Raul, and until hopefully some way or the other, maybe one of these days, Cuba can become a capitalistic country again. We got to take a break. I was sitting here listening to myself talk, and I let it get away from me. Dan, we'll be back right after this.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week for a full hour of all the best and latest information on how you can get the skills and equipment you need to protect the ones that you love.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. Sort of getting off to a slow start. I'm, you know, I think at my age, at our age, that the four-day weekend and three-day work week, maybe even a five-day weekend and a two-day, well, heck, let's just retire. The heck with it.
Yeah, you know, over the weekend, I talked to two fellas that have retired, and they're both really enjoying it and very busy. One guy said he never realized there was so much to do that he had been missing out on, and he said he's having more fun than he can shake a stick at.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. My alarm keeps going off in on my side of the phone. I'm sure you can't hear it, but every once in a while I get this alarm tone in my ear, and I can't figure out how to shut it off. Technology. It's working against me this morning. You know, I didn't even look at my emails for 2 days, and I had over 400 junk emails.
Wow.
I think it's my duty to get out and read emails every morning and keep all these junk email people happy. It's just amazing. But we were talking about Castro's passing, and I'm curious. I'm sure Castro's going to have a big funeral, and I'm curious who the United States will send as its representative.
I personally don't think they ought to send anybody.
Well, I think it's not so much a respect to Castro, but a respect to the Cuban people. And I've been kind of surprised at the news coverage. According to the news coverage, the Cuban people are very distressed, in at least the ones in Cuba, are very sad, and they're crying, and, you know, they miss their leader. And I would have not thought that would have been the feeling.
Why?
So there's some love there somewhere.
You think?
I don't know if Raul would come down on them if they said something different on TV. I don't know how all of that works. But in the coverage, there were some Americans that were interviewed, and they were trying to stay out of the controversy, but they said that it was notably obvious that things had shut down in Cuba. Havana markets were closed, and you know, people were kind of staying inside. So,
well, I think they imposed a 9-day mourning. They burned the boy, and they're going to travel him around until they get to his where he started the riot or whatever it was. I don't. Yeah, you know.
Well, in Santiago, I think that's where his dictatorship started, or where he launched from.
Yeah.
Did they cremate him? Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's interesting. Huh. I know the Pope was in Cuba this summer, I believe.
Yeah, he was there not too long ago.
So maybe he gave Fidel last rites while he was there. But, you know, the mood in Miami is quite different than
party
it is
time.
In Cuba.
Yeah, party time.
Party time.
There's just nothing that I can remember good about the boy. He almost started World War II, or III, I mean, with the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yep.
And, you don't know, Cuba's so damn close to us, you don't know what's really going on as far as their listening power or their, who knows what they're doing. Who knows what Cuba and Russia have done or have built or whatever. The other thing, this gentleman that was on with us was talking about the fact that when he was there, he said they stayed in decent hotels, and the food, they went to some restaurants. They had a driver the whole time, and he said though that it was quite obvious that no matter where they went, they were being followed. No matter where you were, you had to watch what you talked about. The driver really, they tipped him well, but he was very reluctant to talk inside his cab. He didn't mind talking, outside where he hoped nobody was listening. And now this was 2 years ago, so it was still a very guarded situation in Cuba. And even though they could get in and out, he said it was very, you always knew somebody was looking over your shoulder at you, And
sure.
That would be a hard way to live.
Hard way to live.
Yeah, I want to. I'm sorry.
Here's an interesting fact. Angel Castro is Fidel's father. He was a wealthy Spanish landowner. The mother was Lena Ruiz, who was a cook and maid to Angel Castro's first wife.
Huh.
So Mr. Castro was fooling around with the cook and Fidel was the result.
Uh-huh.
Kind of interesting, huh? I guess.
I don't know what... Was this in Cuba that all this was transpiring?
Yeah, this was in Cuba.
I want to move on to something that has really bothered me, and I know that I mentioned this to you. And I'm glad to say that they announced today that the fires in Israel are out. But I was appalled at the fact, here they've given Castro all of this airtime. I mean, yesterday and day before yesterday were almost 24/7 or 24 hours around the clock talking about Castro. And yet,
you bet.
I never heard a word, and I don't switch channels as far as national news is concerned. Maybe somebody else did have it on, but I never heard a word about the Israeli fires. Now, it's like almost 101% of the Israeli fires have been proven or led back to arsonists, and basically it's Muslims that were trying to burn the Israelis out. And they set over 1,000 fires in Israel. And Israel didn't have, I don't know any country could handle something like that. So Israel put out the word, and we did send some of our tankers, and we sent some of our firefighters. But I never heard a word on mainstream media about the fires in Israel and how devastating they were and had been. Have you?
Well, you posted Israel fires are finally out on the email this morning, and I wasn't aware that was a big issue. I had heard kind of a secondary news that there were a few fires in Israel, but geez, the article I'm reading right now says that there were 1,500 fires.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pictures are, excuse me, the pictures, they're unloading fire retardant, it looks like, right in populated neighborhoods. So, yeah, it's a big issue, and no, it wasn't on the news. Interesting. But we have fair media in this country, fair and balanced.
We do?
All of the stations.
All of, yeah. All you know, of, yeah. With the way Obama and his administration have treated the Israelis, I hope Trump does 180 degrees, and they are our allies. They are one of our best allies. And for Obama to slap them in the face every time they turn around, it has always been deplorable. I hope that instead of Martin Luther King on the table, I hope they replace that garbage with Churchill, Winston Churchill again, if the Brits will give it back to us, after Obama sent it back to them. And I just hope we get back. I hope Trump gets it back to where we should be. We take care of our allies, and we defeat our enemies. And it's a very simple thing. We don't try to make whoopee with our enemies like Iran. We say no. And the same way.
Well, you make it sound simple. Now, I don't know. Are you oversimplifying? Can it be really that simple? I don't. We've certainly made it difficult. And we've had a foreign policy that confuses the best of our friends and the worst of our enemy. Nobody really knows what we're doing.
Well, I think our enemies have seen that they could take advantage of it, particularly with the Syrian situation, where I'm drawing a line in the sand. Well, as soon as he had drawn the line, they tested him, and Obama hadn't done a thing, and he still hadn't done a thing. And I don't think we have any kind of respect throughout the world for the United States. And I think we're seeing already Trump's influence, which he said he was going to have. He's seems to have taken, and the market has gone crazy. He's already talked with, I think it's 25 world leaders, and I think they know that he's serious about. You know, he's talking about changing the Iranian deal, also the Cuban deal, and it's time for a break. So I guess we'll take a break.
Well, let's break. Let's make some money.
Let's make some money. We'll be back.
Woo-hoo.
We'll be back right after this.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose, and with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
This is Skip Coriel, host of the Home Defense Show on America's Web Radio. Join me every week as we explore all aspects of home and family defense as we strive to defend the ones we love in an ever-changing and volatile world.
When four members of Congress all die within 4 months, each of their deaths appears to be from natural causes. But when mysterious messages begin to appear in the form of quotations from long-dead revolutionary heroes, one reporter sets out to prove the existence of a serial killer. His search discovers dark secrets and an assassin shielded by people who need the very services that only he can provide. The Sun Silas Rising, a novel by Doug Dahlgren. On Kindle or paperback through Amazon.com.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. And, Dan, I hate to, but you and I talked about this, so I want to bring it up again. Dr. George on her show, Medicine on Call, on Wednesday had an incredible guest. Her name is Dr. Carol Henricks, H-E-N-R-I-C-K-S, and she's a neurologist, and her practice is in Tucson, Arizona. But what she is about, I know you and I talked about it, you looked it up, and I'd like, for you to talk about it, but she basically states that there is a cure for PTSD. And she has a clinic there that she, a nonprofit clinic that she treats returning vets with PTSD. And before I go on, the biggest name, and you and I both looked it up, and I watched the video that's on it, the biggest name that has had this and everybody knows is Joe Namath. And what she has found is by oxygenating a person, and this is heavy loads of oxygen in a, and this goes back to, like you said, we talked about, this is a treatment for bends, and it's to get the nitrogen out and put oxygen back in your system. She has found that it works not only for PTSD, but for many, many other illnesses. And the show is posted on America's Web Radio. And please, anybody that's listening and has a father, friend, brother, whatever, that is suffering from PTSD, please check this out. So when you went and looked at all this stuff, it's called what, HBOT? Is that?
Yeah, the acronym is HBOT, and can't tell you right now what HBOT stands for, but it is pure oxygen under about 3 atmospheres of pressure. So it would be like if you were in water going down probably 25 or 30 feet, there would be that amount of pressure on your eardrums. It's kind of uncomfortable, from what I've been told. But it cures everything from acne to infected toenails. It sounds like. I mean, it sounds like a great cure. The list of possible ailments goes on for about 2 pages. And what HBOT stands for is hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. I went and looked at some manufacturers online of hyperbaric apparatuses. You climb in, they look like big capsules. Some of them look like they would be very difficult if you had any kind of phobia. To get into it, others had big picture windows on them and looked pretty friendly. So I guess it depends on how much you pay. This doctor works in Tucson, as you mentioned, and she's getting some pretty good recognition. Not too long ago, she testified in front of Congress. I don't know if she mentioned that to you.
No, she didn't, as a matter of fact. Was this on her PTSD study?
I believe it was.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and she says that she puts the chamber at 1.5 atmospheres. I said 3 atmospheres, so 1.5. And I've heard that the downside of having too much atmospheric pressure is that you purge all of the nitrogen out of your system, and then you get kind of an oxygen narcosis or oxygen overload, which can be, fatal if not monitored. But I think at 1.5 atmospheres, probably what she's found is that there's no or very little risk.
I guess you wouldn't want, after being oxygenated like that, I don't guess you'd want to jump out of the chamber and light a cigarette.
I wondered about that. Yeah. Yeah, you might blow smoke rings all over the room.
that would be the epitome of a human
therapy. I'm taken by it.
You know, I asked Dr. George after the show if, and I, you know, this may be the fountain of youth. It works in so many ways, and like you said, we talked about the fact that it had been used for Benz treatment when you have you come up too fast and get the bends if you're a diver or whatever. But it's also been used successfully in treating diabetic ulcers that are on legs or limbs and so forth. And so those two areas, it's been around for quite some time, but never really studied outside of just a couple of problems, bends being one and diabetic ulcers the other.
Well, you can go to Tucson. She's selling a gift certificate for 10 HBOT treatments for $1,000. So $100 a treatment, and I think it's an hour treatment. So, you know, it's only $1, $1.50 a minute.
Yeah.
Could buy your own HBOT chamber and put it in your home for about $15,000 to $18,000.
Well,
just remember, no smoking.
My problem with that is, as you described it, to me they sort of look like the old oxygen lung, or
iron lung.
I mean, and I, you know, and I'm not making fun of anybody by any means, but I couldn't climb in one of those. I'd have to have not only her as the neurologist, but I'd also have to have an anesthesiologist knock me out before I could go in one of those things.
Well, they do have one with a picture window in it, and I think that would be your model.
I don't care if it had a used car in it.
You're not going to go in it, are you?
Now, if you went through those pictures that I was telling you about, they do have models where it looks more like just you're going into just a room, and like 5 or 6 people can go in at one time, and you know, it's when I went to the story and started looking stuff up, they did show chambers that would seat like 5 or 6 people. That I think I could handle. I'm not sure, but
yeah, just depending on the 5 or 6 people.
yeah.
Let's see if we can get Dr. Hendricks on the air with us for a segment or two.
Well, she was very nice, and we'll in the near future, after the first of the year, yeah, we'll try to get her on and explain more about how it works on PTSD, and try to put out some publicity that we're going to have her on and talk about it. I think it would be fascinating, and because she's a neurologist, she said you can identify the spot in the brain that causes the PTSD, and that this is not covering it up like most doctors want to with a pill. This is curing it. And, you know, once they've gone through the treatment, and she said it'll take anywhere from 20 to 40 treatments, just depending on the person, but that after you know, they've gone through however many treatments they need, the area is cleared, and you have your normal brain tissue there. So I think the government should be jumping all over this and working with the veterans. I think it's in the number. I think it's 22 veterans a day are committing suicide.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable. So what she's saying is that PTSD damages the brain, and this oxygen allows the brain to heal quicker than it normally would.
Right.
It sounds like. we're not brain surgeons.
We ain't surgeons at all.
Although we did go to a pretty reputable university in Texas.
Yeah, did you know that Tex Med School is actually the University of Texas Med School now?
The med school at Texas Tech is actually University of Texas Med School?
Yeah, it was taken over by University of Texas. I had no idea about that.
Why did they just take it to Austin and put it in University of Texas? Keep their longhorn hands off of the Red Raider institution.
Well, I didn't know that until somebody was telling me that the other day, and I sort of argued with them, and then they had their facts and figures, and I didn't, so there wasn't too much arguing, you know. Next thing, they're going to be taking our cotton away from us or something. I don't know.
Well,
so how do you feel about the appointees to date?
Oh boy. Well, Kellyanne Conway was on TV, and she also tweeted, I guess, and she said that Trump supporters are going to feel betrayed if Trump picks Romney as Secretary of State. And, if I was Trump reading that, I don't know how I'd feel about that. I mean, Kellyanne Conway has been very loyal, and she's always been at Trump's side, but it sounds as though she's saying, you know, Mr. Trump, don't pick Romney.
You think?
Yeah.
I tell you what, let's get back to that.
I always liked, I went through transitions with Mitt Romney. At first, I didn't like him when he was running for president. And then through most of the debates, I started liking what I was hearing. And then it seemed like he kind of rolled over and lost the election because he didn't have enough spirit or guts or oomph. He didn't want it bad enough. He was too much of a gentleman. They're too soft.
On that note, I got to interrupt you, Dan. We got to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Whether cruising the strip in a 57 Chevy or taking the family on a vacation in a 71 Oldsmobile Vista Cruiser, you need to tune in to Classic Cars with Steve Ronaldo and Jim Weber every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. on AmericasWebRadio.com.
45 years of experience is behind the most trusted name in auto transportation. Passport Transport, the first and finest today. That's why Passport Transport is the preferred auto transport for major auto manufacturers, concours, museums, tours, and collectors, and should be your choice from across the state to across the country. When you have the need, go to PassportTransport.com and enjoy the peace of mind referenced experience will give you. Passport Transport.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
And we're back, and there's applause. Do you hear that applause in the background? This is our last segment, Dan, and people are... Or no, I guess that's the folks in Miami, the Cubans, that are celebrating. They're not... It's not us that they're glad to be rid of.
Well, I know I'm personally thrilled that this is the last segment. Which means I'm 15 minutes closer to having a cup of coffee, and that always gets me excited. We were talking about Romney, yeah. And I don't know. It looks like it might be Romney. He seems to be kind of the one that people are talking about. And you don't care for Romney, and I've gone through kind of a love-hate relationship with him. I don't think he's the right guy, and I don't know what his qualifications would be for Secretary of State, but I guess his qualifications are that he's a smart, successful guy, and he worked on the Olympics, and, you know, he's probably traveled internationally, and
supposedly he knows from the Olympics. He knows a lot of world leaders and all of this. But I'm just not a big Romney fan. There's just something about him. You know, this is terrible, and we might get some hate mail out of this. Who knows? But it's sort of like my religion is my religion, and I'm not really big on the car in front of me having a fish on it that announces, I'm a big Christian. I'm not sure putting a fish on your car makes you a big Christian. And Romney strikes me as the kind that would have multiple fish on his car. And he's a Mormon, which I don't necessarily agree with some of their philosophies, but I think we need somebody that when they walk in the room, everybody else is going to shut up and listen to them. I think Hillary was the one, and Kerry, they walk in a room and everybody under their robes are laughing or snickering or whatever. And I think we need, I think it is the second most powerful position in the United States, and I think it should express power, not willingness to give in to everybody for everything.
Well, do you like Rudy Giuliani better? Is that what you're saying?
I like Giuliani from the standpoint I would have liked to have seen him as Attorney General, but Department of Homeland Security, or if he's tabbed to be Secretary of State, I'd have no problem with that either. I like Giuliani. I'm concerned about his age a little bit, but beyond that, I like Giuliani.
Well, some of the other picks. Jeff Sessions for Attorney General, Mike Pompeo for CIA Director. I don't know much about Mike Pompeo. Some of these positions, I'm not real sure what the qualifications are. I do like Governor Nikki Haley for Ambassador to the UN. I kind of like Nikki Haley, although she wasn't pro-Trump particularly. I think she presents herself well, and she's been pretty successful as the governor.
Oh yeah,
in South Carolina.
I'd rather. I don't know a lot about Pompeo, but the few things I've read, he seems very favorable. Hell of a lot better than having a Muslim as CIA director, i.e., John Brennan. I have questioned that, and I guess I'm the only one that finds it obnoxious that there's a problem there, you know?
Yeah. And then we were talking about Betsy DeVos for Education Secretary, and I don't know, that's an outlier to me. It doesn't seem like she's qualified.
I don't know. You and I sort of talked about that before, and I, you might want to read up on her. I know she's against Common Core, which I'm certainly against it. And she's been an advocate for. I think she's been a big advocate for not only charter schools, but also for permit where you can go to any, your kid can go to any school, public school.
Yeah. I think Trump is pro charter school.
Mm-hmm.
I think when I need to do a little research on her and find out what her qualifications are. And then there's Lieutenant General Mike Flynn for a National Security Advisor. I think that's a pretty good pick.
Mm-hmm.
And
I like his potential Secretary of Defense, Mad Dog Mattis. I don't think anybody's going to give him any grief one way or the other.
For Defense Secretary.
Yeah.
And what about Dr. Ben Carson to lead the Housing and Urban Development?
I don't have a problem with that. I was watching a special last night, and they had the Secretary of the Navy on again. Now, that guy's a piece of garbage, in my opinion, and he has done more to hurt the Navy. And naming the new battleships after gays and all this crap, I'm sorry, but I can't go along with that guy, and I hope he's one of the first booted out of the Trump administration and gets AIDS and dies or whatever. Really don't like that guy at all. And I think he has done more to destroy our military, our Navy, than he has in any shape, form, or fashion of helping it in any way. And they had some others. You know, I believe it was Kelly that came out with this, General Kelly, that had been relieved of duty in the Marines or forced to retire. And they've done a study. All this garbage about women being equal and they should be on the front lines fighting, they came out, and it's proven over and over again. I'm sorry, there might be a couple of women out there that are as strong as any man, but for the most part, they have failed across the board, and they shouldn't, because they're women, they shouldn't be on the front line, period. And, you know, what they've done to our military, both Army and tried to do it and haven't successfully done it yet in the Marines, you know, it has nothing to do with mental equality. It has something to do with physical equality, and you can't legislate a woman to be as strong as a man. I don't want one in the foxhole next to me, not if somebody's shooting at me.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would agree. If you're talking physicality, yeah, there may be a few women that can compete, but on the whole, no, they can't. Mentally, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not. I agree. Mentally, no problem, but not on the ground. with an M60 or anything else, you know. And
but you know, a lot of our battles aren't going to be fought that way anymore. We're remote killers. We're drone pilots. We're I was looking at a video on robotics, and there's warrior robots that are coming out.
Well, you know, by the same token, the women fight side by side with the men in Israel. So I'm having a hard time eating my own words, but they do that, do that. Pardon me. I guess part of my thing is, and it goes back to Southern, being a Southern general, you know, it's like I'm sure that an Air Force jockey, just a lady can be just as good at dropping bombs as a guy can. I don't have a problem with that. Where I have a problem with it is the thought of be it a man, woman, or be it a woman in the Army or on a ground pounder or in the Air Force as a pilot being captured and tortured.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real problem with that.
Yeah, well, yeah, that, and let's go back to your foxhole analogy. Being a Southern gentleman, you know, you're being shot at, and so you're racing to jump in that foxhole for protection, and there's a woman, well, you'd have to stop and let her get in first, wouldn't you?
You know, I don't think it'd be.
It presents a dilemma.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be every man for himself, would it?
And I think it presents a dilemma for families, wives back home, wives and husbands both back home, wondering who their mate, what foxhole their mate jumped into, and with whom. I don't know. I think it confuses the issue. I think in war you want to have one issue, and that's to defeat the enemy.
Yeah.
You don't want to be confused.
I'm
confused all the time, but that's just me.
Well, you know, I have a friend. My son has a friend that his friend and his friend's wife, all three of them graduated from Texas A&M at the same time. All three of them were in the Corps at the same time. And she went Navy, and her husband went Air Force, I believe.
Oh, and, my, that's strange. Yeah.
The lady went Navy, and she was a submariner. And, you know, she was on, I don't know. I'd have a hard time handling it. But she was, mm-hmm. she'd be out at sea for, you know, 9 months at a time with, you know, 300 or 400 of her closest guy buddies. And there were other women on the submarine, too. And I asked the husband, how did he handle it? And he said, well, you have to, you know. That was her thing. I hate to do this, Dan, but it's time to put the plug in the jug. I was letting time get away from me, and we got to get going for the land surveying show here shortly with Kurt Sumner and his guest.
Well, tell Kurt hello, and I enjoyed hearing Kurt talk about land surveying a couple of weeks ago. Very, very enjoyable.
We'll have him back on. It's not hard to twist his arm to talk. I can assure you. Anyway, we'll be back next week on the Dan and Dave Show on America's Web Radio. Stay tuned for the NSPS Hour with Kurt Sumner. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio.